Amen. Good morning, Coshocton. How you doing? Amen. Would you help me give the Lord another hand clap of praise? Amen. 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 Oh, amen. Such a beautiful day outside. I love to worship. And I love that the farther that we go into worship, the more that we forget about us. Amen. The more that we forget about us, the more God's presence that we feel. Amen. And you just kind of get your imagination involved. What is it like when you have no troubles? When you have no sickness? When you have no issues? When you have no worries? And you look up and He's standing there. Amen. That's going to be a good day, right? Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, from the back of the room to the front, Holy Spirit, You are welcomed here. We love You so much. We ask that You would open our ears and our hearts, Lord. Move in a mighty way. Teach us. Let us glean wisdom from Your Word. Let us grow in Your presence. Father, we pray for revival in our lives in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody shouted amen. 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 Let me have all the youth come up here really quick. However many youth people I got in here, come on up here. Come on up here and kind of make yourself at home back here on the back. He can come up here. Amen. Come on. Come on, come on, come on. Amen. Amen. I want to talk to you today about building issues. Building issues. If I asked you, do you have any building issues at your house, somebody would say, I've got plumbing issues. Or somebody might say, well, I've got electrical issues. Somebody else might say, well, I have a wall buckling issue, which is in my particular case. And somebody might say, well, every time it rains, I have a water issue because I live too close to the river. We could always say, yes, we have building issues. So to start this morning, I want to ask you a quick question. Do you not know, this is from 1 Corinthians 6:19, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost? Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, that the Holy Spirit is abiding within you, which makes you a building, makes you a temple? You look different from other buildings or temples. You act different. You can make your own choices. You are a temple. So I want to ask you, do you have any building issues? Do you have any building issues? If you would turn with me in your Bibles, we're going to read from Luke chapter 5 to start. This story appears about three times in the Gospels. We're going to read it from here, and then I'm going to read it from another place where we get a little bit more insight. So Luke chapter 5, we're going to start in, about verse 17 here. And when it came to pass on a certain day as He was teaching, there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which had come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a man in a bed which was taken with a palsy. And they sought the means to bring him in, to lay him before him, Jesus. And when they could not find the way that they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop. They let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst of Jesus. I'm going to switch back to Mark chapter 2. And I'm going to start reading in verse 4 here. To give you a slight bit of backdrop to the story, Jesus is returning to Capernaum here. And He has not been home, we'll say. He hasn't been there for quite a while. When He was there before, the Bible says some days. It doesn't tell us how many. It says that Jesus hadn't been there for some days, if you go back a couple of verses. Jesus was becoming such a celebrity among the people because of His teaching and because of His healing, because of the revelation that people was having when they was hearing Him speak, that the crowds grew and would swoon so many that it would make it difficult for Him to get around. So he left and he went to other areas, and now he has come back. And we are going off the assumption that we understand that he is going to be at Peter's house. Okay? He's at Peter's house, which we also find that is basically the basis of his ministry in Capernaum. When he comes back to the area, that is the typical place that he goes, except for the synagogues on the Sabbath days. In verse 4 here, and when they could not come nigh unto him, so these four, we're going to call them neighbors. We're going to call them neighbors. These four men, these four neighbors know somebody that's sick of the palsy. They're paralyzed from the waist down. And these four neighbors decide, you know what, we need to do something for him because he can't get to Jesus. So we need to do something for him. Another way, he has building issues. He can't get there. So we are going to try to get him there. We know from the story that there are Pharisees, ones who are preaching in the synagogues or the temples or the theologians of that time of the gospel. And then we know that there were doctors of the law there. This would be the really brilliant people that want to persecute Jesus. And they're all sitting there just waiting to find something to nitpick. They're waiting to try to find fault. And all the other people from the area have just understood that Jesus is back in town. So they start to come out. And they start to fill the house of Peter to the point to where there's nowhere to stand. There's nowhere to sit. It's so crowded. If all of you would come up here and crowd me. The building is beginning to look something like this. If I took the whole congregation and put you on the stage, the building is starting to look like this. So take your imagination and go there. They are starting to get to where if they move, they start to bump into people. The Bible calls this the press. Calls this the press when they're starting to get to where they don't have elbow room, right? When you don't have room to move as you will. And it's so bad, in fact, that they are starting to stand in the doorways and they're standing outside of the house out there and they're listening to the teachings of Jesus. And then here comes these four neighbors. And they come up with this man and they're carrying him on his bed or on his couch. And they realize that because there's so many people already there, we can't get to him. We can't get to him. Sometimes have you needed to get to Jesus, but it feels like the room is crowded? It feels like the heavens are brass. You hear that? That's an old saying. You feel like that I'm trying to get to you, Lord. I'm trying to pray through. I'm trying to stay here until I hear from you. But it just feels spiritually crowded. Amen? That's much physically the way that this house was working out. Now, these homes was made in predominant squares, and they had flat roofs on them, and there was a staircase up the side of pretty much every house of the region, to give you an idea. The four men show some extreme creativity because they're standing outside and they're holding their friend, their neighbor, or whoever he is, and they're saying, you know what, we have got to get him to Jesus. We've somehow got to get into the presence of Jesus for him. How much trouble are you willing to go through for your neighbor? How much trouble are you willing to go through for your neighbor? They look around and they think, what are we going to do? And one of them has a spark of creativity. And they say, you know what? Let's try to get him up on the roof. I bet you one of the three looked around and said, well, what are we going to do when we get him on the roof? What are we going to do when we get him on the roof? They get up on the roof. They get up on the roof, and as Jesus is talking, they start to hear perhaps a scratching sound. A scratching sound. And they're trying to figure, and I don't doubt that maybe Jesus went. And then all of a sudden you start to hear a more of a digging or a tearing. Let me tell you what the roof looked like. It had rafters. Such as, and then it would have had either wooden tiles, as the Bible calls them, and then it could have had dirt on top of that. It could have had grass growing on it. They used their roofs many of the times as their backyards. There would have been railings around it. And there was dust and there was dirt and there was sand blowing through. They are in the desert. And then you have this straw off of the palm trees or whatever they used, the thrush that was on the ceiling. So as these men are digging, there is dust beginning to fall. Put yourself in the house. You're sitting there and you're listening to Jesus. And through the scratching and the clawing, you start to hear and you start to see particles of dust falling down through. And everybody is looking around puzzled. This has never happened at my house, Peter says. I don't understand it. And then the roof starts to open up. As it opens up, more sand and silt and dirt, more debris is falling through, and the Pharisees of the day no doubt have to move back. Because you're not going to sit there and let it fall on you. If you was in your living room and I'm coming through the top of it, you're not going to sit there and let debris fall on you. You're going to move back. So now there's a place. And as the hole gets wider and wider and wider, the four men are on the roof, figuring out how to get this man down through it. So we know it's roughly a hole big enough to fit a 5'7" man, we'll say, and his bed. And he's tied to ropes, and they start to let the four corners down. We've never seen this before. The room gets oddly quiet, and Peter is thinking, man, I got building problems. I got building problems. I didn't see this. I didn't see this coming. I didn't see this happening. I don't understand. But nobody says anything that we can find in the record. And as the body comes all the way down into the floor, Jesus looks at him. And the Bible says that he sees their faith. Faith can be seeable. You can see a fire in somebody's eyes when they say, you know what, enough is enough. We need a movement of God. You can see faith. Jesus looks up at the four men and he looks at this one and he says, I see faith here. Amen. I see faith here. And as the people around him stand in awe at this man's house has been torn up, Jesus looks at him and he says, son, thy sins are forgiven thee. Thank you. Thank you. Think about the place. And what Jesus has to say is, thy sins are forgiven thee. Jesus has a wonderful way of always addressing the worst problem first. The worst problem is sin in life. We're not going to get into a healing debate or the debate of why people get sick or are sick or have to go through sickness. That's another day, another time. We are looking at, though, is that Jesus recognizes that the most important thing in the human life is that you are forgiven. Is that you are forgiven. There's several reasons why you must be forgiven, that this has been the most important thing in your life. Number one, it cost Jesus the most. It costed heaven the most. And number two, the forsake place of your spirituality determines an end destination in your life. Determines an end destination in your life. If you're not forgiven, you may not enter in. But Jesus looks at this man and he says, you're forgiven. And then we know that he is healed. So now, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost? I want to ask you, do you have weak spots in your temple? Do you have weak spots in your temple? I'm sure Peter looked at his house here and he said, of all the things I can imagine, the crowd is done, went home, and his family's there, and Jesus is there. For all the things that I can imagine happening, somebody ripping my house apart to get somebody into the presence of God is not something that I thought would happen. I didn't see that coming. I didn't see that coming. So how do we recognize if we have weak spots in our buildings? We could start by saying something like this. Are we on Sunday who we think God wants us to be? And on Wednesday night at work, do we find ourselves being somebody different? If you do, that's a character problem. That means that we have a weak spot in the building. Do we find ourselves at work, wherever we work, and the urge creeps up from time to time to steal something? If you work at a grocery store and you're hungry, well, there it is. There comes that little voice. If we continue to entertain, then you probably have a weak spot in the temple. Or how about if we are with our children and on Sunday we want to shout and yes, amen, praise the Lord, that we should not provoke our kids to anger, but yet we stand there and provoke them during the week. Maybe we have some weak spots in the temple. Most of the time when a message like this comes up, we want to talk about sand and we want to talk about water. And if you go stand in the ocean or one of the Great Lakes and you stand there long enough, the water comes in and the water comes out and it washes the sand out from under your feet. You get a little bit deeper and a little bit deeper in the sand and in the silt. And we would say that you need to build your house upon a solid foundation. The foundation is Jesus. That's what we would say. But let's face it, I can be a good solid foundation that I know that I have prayed Romans 10, 9, and 10. That I know that I am feeling with faith the way that I should feel, that I know that Jesus is my Savior. I know that I ask for forgiveness, but yet I get the urge to take something that's not mine. I'm going to tell you straight up, that's human nature. All of us has heard that voice. But we have to put it away. We have to put that thing away. We have to not go through with it. When we go through with it, that's when we start to develop holes in our temple. That's when we start to have building issues. That's when dirt starts to fall in and silt starts to fall in. That's when doubt and unbelief start to fall in, is when we go through with the sin, we partake with the sin, and we create holes in our lives. Repentance and forgiveness of Jesus repairs those holes. Amen? When you sin, you feel dirty, you feel nasty, you feel lonely perhaps, you feel sick, you feel like you've been forsaken, you feel guilty, you feel like you let somebody down. I know exactly how you feel. I feel the exact same way. And then when we really get down to business and we say, God, you know, I did such and such, confession is good for the soul. I took something that wasn't mine. I said something I shouldn't have said. You know, I got the urge to gossip and boy, Jesus, I'll let them have it. And I know it's wrong. I need to mend the temple. Would you forgive me? And when we get right down to where the rubber meets the road and we say, forgive me, and then we're forgiven, then our temple gets mended. We have forgiveness. Amen? You following me? Yes, amen. I want to urge you this morning not just to ask for forgiveness. That's not just what the message is about. We're going to say that every week. I want to tell you that when you develop a building issue and you decide it's time to patch it, you decide it's time to fix it, you decide that it's time to put that thing away once and for all, don't use the same building materials you used before. I can tell you that if I was Peter and this right here happened, I would probably call up my brothers and my friends and my people and I'd say, you know what, let's make that a little stronger. They're going to have to find another way in next time because this is my house. The temple of the Holy Spirit, that's your house. When you start to mend those holes, don't just stop at, Lord, forgive me. We used to say a thing called praying through. Stay there until you pray through. After like 45 seconds, he's like, I wonder if I'm through yet. I read them stories. They used to pray for like 6 hours. I've been here for 60 seconds. I wonder if I've prayed through yet. When you go to get the forgiveness, don't stop at the 40 or the 60 second mark. Get out your Bible. Get out your digital Bible. Get out something that has the Word of God in it. And Google, what does God say about stealing? What does God say about lying? What does God say about gossiping? What does God say about backbiting? What does God say? Not what did I think. Not what does Chris say. Not what was my neighbor say. What does God say? and write down all the verses that it populates. Google is smart. And then get your Bible out and look up every one of them verses. Read the verse. Read the verse before it and the verse after it, one or two, so that you have a real understanding of what God is saying to you. And then apply that to the whole. Apply that to the whole. The mistakes that we make when we're new Christians, through the timeline of life, we should not be making the same mistakes at the end of the road. If I get saved today, and I have all these problems and issues in my life, we're going to use provoking kids as one of them. And I get 6 years into my walk with Christ, and I'm still provoking kids like I did 6 years ago, you're using the wrong building materials on your temple. You're supposed to use the Word of God. You're supposed to build in faith. You're supposed to build time with God in prayer so that you develop calloused hands, so that you develop faith-filled hands, so that that hole right there that was made because you worked at a grocery store as a teenager and you got hungry and you stole a candy bar and now you're 27 years old, 37 years old, 57 years old. You know, we haven't used that tool here around the shop in a long time. Does it belong to you? Nope. If you take it, that's called stealing. All them years down the road, if you repair the temple, you're building issues with the Word of God, praying through, all the way through, none of that 45-second stuff. I promise you that when you get down the road in your Christian walk, you will not have the same types of building issues. Can I get an amen? Amen. When you move into a house, and you get into that house, and you start looking around, and you start trying to find things that you need to fix, or things that you need to work on, you generally prioritize. You generally prioritize. That's what I want you to do this morning. I want you to prioritize. There are pens all over the place. There are notes in all of your electronic gadgets. I want you to make a note on a bulletin on something. The number one building issue that your temple has. Why am I asking you to write it down? Not so anybody can see it. Confession's good for the soul. Until you get nasty out, you don't have room for good in. Until you get nasty out, you don't have room for good in. Write down what is the worst. Whatever you are when you are at your worst. This is my building issue. This is my hole. This is where I stumble the most. This is where when the rain of life comes, this is where I suffer, is because of this. Whatever it is, put it down. Put it down. Now, I want you to take a moment and consider, how does God want you to fill the hole? How does God want you to fill the hole? He doesn't want you to fill it the way it was so that you can make another one. He wants you to fill it with time and prayer, and He wants you to fill it with faith, and He wants you to fill it with wisdom, and He wants you to fill it with knowledge. He wants you to fill it with wisdom like Solomon had wisdom. He said, Lord, would you grant me wisdom so that when I govern your people, so that when I speak to your people, they will be better. That's the kind of wisdom that God wants you to fill your building issues with. All through life, we develop new issues all the time. We develop new issues all the time. And we're constantly supposed to be seeking. We're constantly supposed to be digging. We're constantly supposed to be looking for the way that God said to fix the issue. Not our way. Our way is to say a 45-second prayer, and I feel pretty good about it, and go move on so that next week we can have a repeat. That's our ways. We want the microwave solution, the 45-second popcorn solution. Today when you get home, I want you to spend 20 minutes And I want you to look up the verses that pertain to your number one building issue. Your number one. And then I want you to read them. And use the Word of God to start to fix this. Use the Word of God to start to fix your character and your integrity. And start to use the Word of God to fix the shortcomings in life. The things that we stumble and fall. Because I'm going to tell you, people are all over the world and they're looking and they're trying to find something that's real. In the Old Testament, we find a place where it talks about showbread. And people are always saying, we have the presence of God at church. Or you need to come to church, the presence of God is so strong. Or you need to do this, the presence of God rests upon people who are constantly seeking revival in their life. Amen. Amen. To think that revival shows up twice a year when somebody you've never seen before shows up and gives you some little thing is great. But God wants you to have revival every day, day in and day out. Revival just simply means that you are changing on the inside, that you're becoming a new creature, that you still have that fire that you had the moment you got saved. You got saved and you went to work and you didn't mind telling the guys in the break room, I got saved at church last week. Do you still feel that way? If you don't, you need revival. The way to get revival is to fix the temple building issues. Jesus goes into the temple and he looks around and they're selling goods and doing all sorts of other things they shouldn't have been doing. And he flips the table over and he says that my house will not be this type of house. My house is not going to be a den of thieves. It's not going to be a rotten place, but my house, God's house, is going to be a house of prayer. When we start to experience revival by patching the holes, by fixing the problems in us, then the showbread comes back to the house. Amen? One thing that drives me crazy is when you go somewhere, and I no doubt you've done this, you go on vacation and you get there and you're like, you know what, I want to go to church on Sunday. And you probably looked on the internet or whatever, if you didn't know the area, and you looked up some churches and you pulled up a website and they have this worship music on there and they have this man and this woman, you know, like, hallelujah. And you thought, you know what, I want to go to church there. And you show up and what you thought you saw is not there. That's when they're advertising to have showbread, but when you show up, there's not any. They're showing you one thing because it came off Google Images, but they can't deliver it. Because we got holes in the temple. Because we got holes in the temple. Amen? I got my holes. I got my problems. I have to continually put the Word up there. I have to continually put that up there. I have to continually seek God's presence and seek God's advice and try to figure out, you know what, my house is made out of straw and clay, but I need it to be made out of bricks. I need to stop going down that road. Amen. This story shows us another point that I want to lower down in front of you. The man that is lying on the couch, that's lying on the bed, is a form of humanity. That's how humanity is. We're feeble, and we're weak, and we're broken. And much of the time we need to be carried, and we need to understand that we need to lay down in front of Jesus. That's the condition of humanity. If you turn on your television, a healthy school is not one where kids are afraid to go. A healthy community is not where there are drive-bys. The truth is that humanity is broken and wounded and hurt. And they desperately need to see God. They desperately need to be lowered down in front of the Master. They need to be put and placed in front of Jesus. And you're the ones that have to tear a hole in the roof of their building and let them down in front of Jesus. You're the one that has to show them Jesus. Jesus is not going to plop out and right in front of them while they're riding their horse, knock them out on the ground, and when they come to, that may not happen to them. You might be the voice of reason. You might be the spiritual guidance that they need at some point. And if you're not opportunistic about the Bible, if you're not looking to try to make a difference by having revival in your own life, if we don't care enough to try to produce revival out of ourselves by fixing our own self, how can we say that we want to show somebody Jesus? I know that's a heavy burden that I just put right there. It's your job to peel the roof off and to let people down in front of Jesus. That happens when they see how you live. That happens when they hear the words that you speak. That happens when they come to you and they say, you know what, I really don't even know you, but I need you to pray for me. Most of the time, this is what we do. I'll pray for you. I love it when somebody does this, when I go to them and I say, you know what, I could use some prayer, and they grab me by the hands. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. That is where we have to go. You can't go there if your building is falling in all around you. You can't. Because your character and your integrity, those things, those problems that we have, that sin in our life makes itself known. Amen? We're never going to be perfect. We're never going to get it all out. We're never going to be invincible. We're never not going to have issues. But God's word for today is it doesn't matter where you're at in this life. It doesn't matter where you're at in the walk. It doesn't matter where you're at in the relationship. You have to start patching the holes the right way. Start down that road doing it the right way. No longer just, Lord, would you just please forgive me so that I can go back and do it again next week and ask for forgiveness again. Lord, you know I'm sorry. Teach me how to not want to steal something. That's the truth. We don't look at ourselves that way, though, because sometimes we have too much pride. We don't want to get alone and say, you know what, the bottom line is, Lord, I'm kind of a thief. I'm a backbiter. I'm a swindler. I'm a this. I'm a that. Whatever sin it is, that's who I... We don't say that, most certainly not to one another. But we got to say it to God. Amen. We're laying on the cot and our building is rubbleized, if you will. It has issues and it has problems and it has leaks and it has all these things. And everybody can see the dust falling down. Every time a new hole, people see the dust. People see the debris coming down. It's not hid. God is saying now's the time to fix it. Now's the time to fix it. Start on that journey to fix it. My email address is pastorchrisgiles@gmail.com. It's been that way for years. If you go into the Word of God, you see, this is the part of discipleship that people miss because they're going to tell you you need to repair your building, but they don't tell you how to repair it. I told you how to repair it. Go in the Bible and find the verses. Get the Word of God. Get it down deep inside. Pray through that thing. Mend the hole in the roof. And then move forward. Don't go back. But then sometimes you look at those verses and you're like, Lord, I still don't get how to do it. That's why I'm telling you. Send me an email. Call me. We will talk through it. Amen? Amen. I've got people I call and have to talk through those things because I'm just not smart enough to get it right. I just can't quite figure it out. I can't quite grasp it. And then one person comes along and says one word and my life starts to change and my life starts to revitalize again. My life starts to get that fire that it once had again. Amen? Amen. Would you stand to your feet? Hallelujah. You may have realized by now I'm always saying change. I'm always saying evolve. I'm always provoking somebody to look at their life and say, you know what, I need to be different. And I'm going to reveal to you why. I'm going to reveal to you why. If I can't get my life right, and this is me, it's me talking, I'm not preaching, it's me talking to you. If I can't get my life right, bit by bit, piece by piece, then what am I doing with it? in the Christian walk, if I can't bit by bit and piece by piece move through life, become one creature and then become another creature and become another creature, then as a Christian, what am I doing? What are you doing? Nothing. Nothing. Stuck. Not changing. Not evolving. Not becoming. We speak of wanting to have a relationship with God. Lord, speak to me. Lord, show me your way. Show me your will. Well, God's will and His way is to fix the temple. Not to go shove the temple off on somebody else. Fix the temple and let God do the work. That's the whole message of the Bible, is God saying, fix the temple, fix the temple, fix the temple. The entire thing. Get to know me by fixing the temple. He wants to help. But He can't help until we start to make the first steps. Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, every person, from the top of their head to the sole of their feet, move in a mighty way. God, if we can crawl down through the holes that we put in our buildings, that we put in our own temples, through sin, and can get in front of You, You can change us. Father God, my prayer right now is to give our hearts the willingness to crawl to the throne. Our willingness to lay down in front of Jesus and say, this is who I am and this is what I am, and I got no excuses. But I have holes, I have issues, I have problems. And I don't just need them fixed. I need them fixed better than they was before. I need stronger faith, Lord. A better relationship with You. Father, surround each and every one of us with Your presence. Surround each and every one of us with Your presence. You get all the glory. Father, birth a desire for us to no longer be average. For us to want to be a new creature. Revival into their lives, I speak. Fire shut up in their bones and in their eyes, Lord, is what I want to see. Convict us of our ways. Show us our faults and our letdowns, God. Hallelujah. Father, any that are sick, those that are in the hospital, Lord, we ask that Your Spirit just rest upon those rooms. God, we pray for a good report. God, we believe it. No is not an answer. Overcomers by the word of our testimonies. Heal them, deliver them, set them free. Move in a mighty way. In Jesus' name. If you'd like prayer this morning, the altar is open. Continue to pray. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause His face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, and grant you peace. And you're rising up and you're laying down, you're going out and coming in, both now and forevermore. Would you give your response with me? May the words of my mouth, say it out loud. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Your sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. Amen.
For all that You do, Lord, I thank You so much for this message and the stepping on the toes, Lord, that we all need to repair our own self before we try to help somebody else. Lord, I just ask that You continue to lead me and lead this church, Lord, in the path that you want us to be, Lord. I lift up to you, Father, the sick and the not feeling well folks of our church, Lord, that couldn't be here this morning. I ask that you just comfort them, heal them, be with doctors, be with their family members. Ones that are here, Lord, that you know the case and the situation, Lord, and we know that you're almighty. We just trust in your will, Lord. We ask these things in your name. Amen.